Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Overreactions. Let's get into it. College and pro, some of the overreactions from the weekend. Miami will have a bye in the college football playoff. That D-line is real. The veteran quarterback on the road, the downfield weapons, they are as impressive as anybody in college football.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that holds me back from, I don't do guarantees very often, but of guaranteeing this is Mario Cristobal. Like, he's got a track record of pulling some bonehead coaching moves. If he's learned from those, and maybe he has, this is the team that is going to come out of the ACC as ACC champs. I don't know that they lose, and if they don't, they're going to get a bye.
This is not an overreaction. I mean, I think they could lose a game and get a bye at this point. You know, especially considering what are we looking at? They got a win over Notre Dame. Notre Dame's probably going to end up being a playoff team if they went out, as disgusting as that is. You know, Miami's played some of the best football. You could argue they could be number one in the country right now.
So it all depends on who they would lose to.
I don't think that matters at this point. I when you look at the landscape of what's going to happen, the cannibalization of the SEC still that has to take place and what's happening to some of the teams there. I mean, to me, they look pretty firm right now unless they just go Miami like Miami did last year. This is different. Carson Beck, I really trust him at this point.
Well, I do too, but let's just say in a couple of weeks they were to lose to Stanford. I think that would be one where you're like, maybe
but
not.
But if that's the only loss, then they win out and win the ACC title. They're going to have a first-round bye. Maybe not the one seed, but they'll have a first-round bye, yeah. I Chase Brown, kids.
Where was he yesterday?
Had to face the Lions defense. Penn State and Texas should not be ranked and will miss the playoffs. Neither has beaten a Power 4 opponent, and we're into October. Neither team has a difference maker at quarterback, despite all the hype. And both defenses have not been as advertised. Both are going to lose at least one more football game.
Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but neither of them are ranked, right?
Correct.
So here's the deal. Not ranked in the AP, but both are ranked in the coaches poll, which
right.
is laughable.
Texas is at 19 and Penn State is at 22. So, so you've got, depending on the poll that you looked at, a number one team and a number two team to start the season unranked now. I don't think this is an overreaction at all.
This is not an overreaction. It's pathetic that they're ranked in that coach's poll right now. It just goes to show you that, you know, maybe they put in their ballot on Friday night. Seriously, it's sad. What yeah. world are we living in where these two teams deserve to be ranked right now? I don't think Texas stands a chance right now to make the playoff. Arch has too much growing up to do too fast. They get Oklahoma this week, right?
Yeah, River. Yeah,
And the schedule's just loaded. No, Texas would be a 4 or 5 loss team, I think. Penn State, as a 3 loss team, in the right world, look, at the back end of this thing, it's going to be garbage. We saw it last year. with the playoff and stuff. I would just say, I don't think this is not an overreaction, but there could be a world where they could wiggle into the bottom.
Okay, and at the very end of the season, what's the one thing that's going to come up? Well, they lost to a team that hasn't won any games in UCLA, didn't have a head coach. They had an offensive coordinator that didn't even know how to use his headset.
Yeah, they had Will Birchfield calling plays. He showed up 2 days beforehand. Anyway. Do you believe Jonathan Smith will not see a third year in East Lansing? Off a bye, they were sloppy. Two special teams blunders led to 14 Nebraska points. They can't develop an offensive line, so the quarterback's getting killed. The AD didn't hire him, and there's no fire or fight in East Lansing. This will be his last year to avoid staleness setting in.
No, he'll be back because if they fire him, he's owed $33 million. So no, it's not happening. The only thing that happened when Alan Holler decided to step down or they let him go and they brought in a new AD, it made it easier for Jonathan Smith to leave because his buyout's only $3 million. But that's if he goes somewhere else.
That's the only way he's gone, is if he goes somewhere else, right? Since there's some sort of mutual parting here.
But he's, we just talked about the team
where he might go, UCLA, maybe, right?
Pasadena,
that's where he's from.
Yeah.
This is an overreaction for now.
The Lions are the best team in the NFC. The Eagles rank 29th in yards per carry. The best offensive line in football got their quarterback sacked 6 times yesterday, a game where they blew a 2-touchdown lead at home. The Lions are the best in the NFC.
I'm not sure if I should abstain from this because I have to put my power search together Wednesday morning, and I think you're just trying to, you're trying to get a peek.
Fishing.
Yeah. No, I'll go ahead and answer this. Yeah, they are the best team in the NFC right now. They are operating on all three levels. Even when you have guys in the secondary that are down, their number one corner, they find ways to win games. Even when they don't operate as efficiently up front as you want them to, with 4 sacks on Jared Goff, a large part of that was the fact that they couldn't protect his backside with Giovanni Manu. They are the best team in the NFC right now.
I think this is an overreaction for now. I think it's way too much piling on the Eagles. And for what they have done, yesterday was not a good win or a good loss. I mean, look, they fell asleep at the wheel, to be honest. This happens in the NFL. Let me throw some numbers at you. The Eagles have two losses now since September 29th of last year. Two losses. One of them, Jalen Hurts didn't play. It was Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
They had won 20 of 21 football games in the NFL, including the playoffs.
Yeah, but this is where they are this week.
No, this is why this is labeled this, overreactions. They have the best roster in the NFL still. Now, do they have problems? They have to run the ball or this will change. And I will say the Lions keep playing this way. But to do this after week one, after a team just lost its second game since September 29th of last year, is insanity. It's the stupid world we live in right now where people go crazy after one thing.
It's not 1 week. The Lions, what they did to Baltimore is more impressive than anything Philly's done this season.
This isn't about the Lions. This is about the Eagles.
The Lions are the best team in the NFC.
They're not, because the best team has lost 2 games since September 29th of last year.
Well, if we were comparing the last 2 seasons, I would agree the Eagles are better. They won the Super Bowl. I'm comparing this season.
Guess what? That team's been to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. They won one of them.
Okay, so maybe they got a better GM, and we can make an argument about head coach. But right now, this is the here and now.
Right, and they do maybe have a guard issue. And something to keep an eye on here since we're getting into the weeds here. Is there going to be a market for Sauce Gardner?
Maybe. I mean, they're the only winless football team. We'll get to them in a second. Doomy. The Jets didn't hire their version of Dan Campbell. They hired their version of Antonio Pierce. They're the last winless team in football. They're the first team in NFL history to start 0-5 and not have a single takeaway. They hired a defensive head coach. Rah-rah guy, but very little substance.
This is a gigantic overreaction. I think the issue that they have is they don't have a quarterback. Like, they tied their wagon, they're hitched their wagon to Justin Fields right now. And Justin Fields isn't a franchise quarterback.
But that
he never has been, never will be.
That doesn't explain their defense.
this is a matter of setting a tone. And in year one of Dan Campbell, they went 3-13-1. And they started off this very similar. So, no, I'm not going to sit here and say that Aaron Glenn. In fact, I know both of these guys, and I played with Antonio Pierce. There is absolutely no comparison between Aaron Glenn and Antonio Pierce. It's almost offensive to me that you would even utter these words in the same sentence. There hasn't been an overreaction where I've been like, you know what, I really want to punch you. And this is one, because it's offensive to put those two guys in the same sentence.
Former player. Without results. I just think there's a danger in saying, well, every winless coach is going to be Dan Campbell.
Character,
there is one Dan Campbell.
And standard. You're talking about two guys with completely different character and completely different standard. I think Aaron Glenn will get it right. And I don't know how long it takes. I don't even know if they're going to give him enough time. But he will get it right.
This is a major overreaction. I couldn't agree with John more. Look, at 4-19 Campbell started at. And I overreacted and started questioning if he was the right guy for the job in that 1 week. Remember that, John?
Yep.
It was when they fell to the 1-6 in the second season. I'm like, at some point, you know, he's tracking to be Marty Morningweg. And then it turned. I agree, John, the character thing. And you got to know this, Jim. John has a list. And his list starts with Clinton Portis. We all know that. I haven't heard him say many bad things about guys that he's played against or knows about in the league. But he has done it with Antonio Pierce. Yep. Therefore, Antonio Pierce is high on this list as well. This is garbage.
Yeah.
It says, Mew, I got two more. The Colts are the second best team in the AFC. 4-1 with a convincing win. They're winning by 14 points per game. It's the largest margin in the NFL.
I want to say it's an overreaction. But then I look and say, okay, well, who could I possibly put in front of them? The only thing I'll say about the Colts is, okay, look at their schedule.
Oh, you're going to do what the callers did to the Lions.
The win against the Broncos is a good one. The loss against the Rams is a good one. But they've also beaten the Dolphins, the Titans, the Raiders. So has everyone else.
But decisively, convincingly, the way you're supposed to.
Cardinals haven't beaten the Titans.
No.
How awesome was that?
Yeah. Ouch. I don't know. I put them still right there, and I know the Chargers had a really bad day yesterday. Denver, I mean, don't sleep on Denver in that division. There could be three teams in the AFC West that are ultimately better than the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not going to throw the Chiefs out, the Broncos, or the Chargers. So I think this is a bit of an overreaction at this point.
Yeah, I think it's overreaction simply because I put them at three. I still put the Bills and Chiefs ahead of them.
Grit, 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 grit. Someone mentioned the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They're going to miss the playoffs. The offensive line's a real problem. They lost Slater before the year. Joe Alt is out. They've given up over 50 pressures the last 3 weeks. It's crippled their run game. It's put Herbert in a bad spot. And suddenly, their big lead in the division, it's gone. Denver's at 3-2. Kansas City could be 3-2 at the end of tonight.
They got a chance to get right going to Miami this week. And then they follow it up, and we'll get a chance to see Chargers, Colts. But then you think about the rest of their schedule. Vikings, Titans, Steelers, Jags, Raiders. Like, I don't think that they missed the playoffs, no.
I think this is an overreaction, but barely. And the reason I say that is it's not about them for me. It's about the AFC for me. And I can see this team backdooring a 9-8 seventh seed just because of the depth of the AFC. The fact that the Ravens have fallen off. If they recover, I think the Chargers miss, but I don't know if the Ravens can recover right now. How about them, Harbaugh?
Those are your overreact gems.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. All right, I want your take on this text. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Buckle up.
Oh, hang on.
All right. Karsh's going to take a drink of his bourbon before I read this text. All right. I would rather have missed the playoffs entirely instead of sitting through this garbage. At least if they missed, the organization would make changes. Now I don't think they will.
Winning a game in extra innings in the postseason in round two in a pitcher's duel is garbage?
I don't know what to say. I mean, I am frustrated with the bats as well. I'm standing by my pick. I think they're going to win this series. And if what they're doing is working, and they didn't sell the future, and they have elite help on the way in the future. Now, I know what happens, and it happens everywhere, and it's happening probably in this very instance. And that is sports talk radio turns into a battle of who has higher standards, and that guy has higher standards than me, I guess.
Well, would you rather be the Yankees at this point?
So the Yankees
0-2 and gave up 13 runs, despite the fact they scored 7 yesterday, but they.
They've never led in the series. They fell behind in the first inning of game one, second inning of game two, have never led in the series, and have given up, 23 runs here in two games?
Yeah, and their ace, Max Fried, was on the hill last night.
Mm-hmm.
3 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, 2 walks.
Did you see what Aaron Judge's batting average is with runners in scoring position in the postseason?
I imagine it's still pretty good.
It's like 170. Playoff baseball's really hard. Playoff baseball is really, really difficult. And I get that the Blue Jays have exploded here. But, yeah, it is it's very, very difficult to score runs in the postseason. Can they do better? I hope they can. I hope they've got it in them. But runs come at a premium. Everything tightens up. Here's the other thing, too, is defenses tighten up. In the last couple decades, Starting pitchers get pulled earlier and earlier and earlier by everybody. Do you know that last year, starting pitchers accounted for less than 50% of the innings pitched by that accounted for the postseason? Starting pitchers get pulled, bullpen guys go in, specialists that make it tougher on hitters, and yeah, everybody's got to deal with the same thing. But, it's scratch and claw and get runs when you can, and hopefully your pitching holds up. I mean, here's what we probably won't get. We probably won't get a call about the masterclass that A.J. Hinch put on with the way he operated using 8 arms to get through game one. 8.
It was impressive.
To go 11 innings.
There was something that happened in last night's game I was kind of curious about as to why it went this way. And that is in the the 5th or 6th inning. It was the 6th inning. Spire, who's a right-handed pitcher, comes in, strikes out Riley Green.
Yeah.
Gets torqued to ground out to shortstop.
Yep.
And then Colt Keith is due up.
And they hit Wenzel.
They bring in Wenzel.
Yep.
And he's switch hitter, so he's hitting left-handed against Spire. So I'm like, why wasn't Colt? Is it because they thought if they're going to let Colt Keith hit, that they would change pitchers?
It could be.
But if they did, then you would have brought in, then you could switch up and bring Perez in anyway.
AJ's always thinking of all the different moves. If he makes this move, they're going to make counter with that move. Yeah. He knows what bullet the other manager has in his chamber, so could be. 248-539-9797. Bob's in Shelby. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good, Bob. Thank you.
Great. Hey, what Nets you guys are talking about the Tigers, but just to switch up for a minute, I was watching that Lions game yesterday and watching our secondary get injured, and we're putting in guys. At one point, we put in this guy named Flowers who had just joined the team.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what's the best way to help out these, you know, second string guys in the backfield? And I'm looking at Hendrickson playing his butt off for Cincinnati on a team that's going no place. And I just wonder what it would take. I know we may not be able, may not be willing to pay Hendrickson what he would want.
No, they
for
won't.
Next year.
No, they won't.
But just to have him
for the rental.
Hold on a second.
For the rental.
I mean, Bob, here's something to keep in mind.
Yeah,
here's another way to help the secondary is to acquire a player, a Hendrickson of the secondary. The Lions are second in the NFL, and they lead the NFC in quarterback sacks.
Yeah, I understand that, man. But I guess I just remember, I'm an old guy, and I remember back in the day when we had Alex Karras and Roger Brown. Wow. And I remember back in the day when the Vikings had the Purple People Eaters with Alan Page.
Yeah, were those Super Bowl winning teams or no?
85 Bears. You know, it's just...
There's a lot of teams. I mean, one team that was effective using the pass rush was the Philadelphia Eagles, who won the Super Bowl last year. But, Bob, they're getting to the quarterback. I'm not saying I would turn down a great offer to get Trey Hendrickson, okay? But it's interesting. We see that they're losing guys in the secondary. How about just acquire another defensive back? Maybe that becomes the priority. And if you can't acquire one, maybe the way you do it is help the pass rush. But doesn't it seem like losing guys in the secondary positions, kind of some guys get picked on a little bit. Maybe we add one of those.
Look, I get the intrigue with Trey Hendrickson. It was on full display again yesterday because that's who they played, and he's really, really freaking good. And would that help to protect against a bad secondary or a beleaguered secondary? Yes, mm-hmm. Of course it would. But if a player of that substance comes available as a corner, then yeah, I think that's where you look at. I'm not against adding Hendrickson. Of course I would, but you have to see what the asking price is going to be. You know, is Cincinnati going to, I don't know what Cincinnati's going to do. They're not going to be, I don't think that they figured things out in the fourth quarter of yesterday's game. I think what happened was they played up against a really banged up secondary, specifically in that fourth quarter, and they were able to take advantage of it on a couple of plays. But I don't think Cincinnati is now vaulted into being back into their winning ways, not with the situation they have. But are they going to still try to get Hendrickson done in a long-term deal? I don't know. I still think that's a possibility. I don't think it's a strong one. But you're going to have to wait a few weeks before Hendrickson really becomes available. And he's going to be available to every team in the league. And some teams are going to want to assign him to a long-term deal. It might be a little bit more aggressive with their offer than what the Lions can be. Keep in mind what the Lions are going to be drafting. They're going to be drafting towards the end of the first round. So if it's going to take a second-round pick for most teams, it's going to take a first-round pick for the Lions. Yeah. And is it worth it for a rental? It might be. It might be.
It's something worth it. I'm not against it, but I think as the season goes on, I'm feeling like the need is in the secondary more than it is the edge rusher.
I'm looking ahead to potential free agents after this season,
mm-hmm.
just to see if there are any corners available.
You're checking to see?
I'm checking to see, because the number one available potential free agent after the season is Trey Hendrickson. But you have to go down the list, and I think it's around 25 before you find a cornerback. And the corner is Darius Slay, who's playing with Pittsburgh right now, which is another team to keep an eye on. Because if Pittsburgh falters, let's say that they're just floundering, they're slightly below 500, they don't have a chance to win the division, although they might because that division is off to such a horrible start.
Yeah, game and a half into first right now.
Yeah, so maybe that one's not even worth looking at. But if they're thinking long-term instead of short-term, would they be willing to part with Darius Slay? And do you look at Darius Slay? I mean, I would, sure. I think as we get closer to that deadline, the more obvious option for what the Lions need to do at the trade deadline is to add to the cornerback position specifically, not the edge rusher, particularly when you're getting Aleem McNeil back real soon to help that defensive line.
97-1 the ticket.
Well, that's some interesting news, isn't it? Look, good, bad, or otherwise, you need Terry and Arnold healthy. And the Lions are doing the right thing. It's the same thing they did with DJ Reed. They're not going to rule anything out, but Reed's going to be gone for a good long while. Even Reed said he thought when he got hurt, it was a wrap. So he's going to be gone for a good long while. Terry and Arnold may be gone for the year. It becomes a real issue. Rakestraw is gone for the year. But again, this is football. It does become next man up.
You're right.
And you have no injuries on offense. None. You know, Taylor Decker missing a game against Cincy, that's management. I told you Friday. Like, that's one where you could just give him a week.
Yes, but you got to hope that it's nothing serious that he aggravates in the next game against Kansas City, because I don't think that you can go up against good teams with Manu.
No, you can't. But here's the deal. How many offensive lines are intact league-wide? You've been living a spoiled life that yours is. O-line injuries happen.
Everybody else is dead, Mike, so, you know.
No, not you. Oh, I'm saying Lion fans have gotten very comfortable that the same five guys line up every week. That's not how it works.
Right.
So last year, you lost a starter on the O-line for three games. It was Decker. Okay, you had one week here where I think if this is a playoff game, he plays. They managed him. That's all. He's a vet. They knew who they were playing.
Exactly.
The Edmonton Eskimos.
They can't come out and say, well, we're going to win this game.
Correct.
It's our homecoming game, but. Yeah.
But no, the secondary thing's going to become a real problem when you face good teams.
Rock your sin.
Cool. 248-539-9797. David, let's check in on the ticket text. What do you got?
I am absolutely crying over the kazoo. Kazoo is the new share drop. More, 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 he says. Another person says, I ask seriously. Have you ever seen this many professionals not name the 0-3 Tigers swing and flat out miss pitches this much? Does Mike in Clarkston.
Look, it's 56 strikeouts in your five postseason games. It's really hard to fathom. Yet, they're in every game. And they're tied at one. I'm not going to change Tigers in four, but like it's hard to say it and believe in it because I don't have a lot of great reasons. Not after what I watched this weekend. Yet, they should be up 2-0. They are one of the most confounding teams of my career.
The only thing I can say about the Tigers is that they are absolutely exhausting.
Yes, that's a great word.
The highest of highs to the lowest of lows. Just exhausting. Dingler, Perez, and McKinstry all have one hit each in five playoff games. The team has 50 Ks and 32 hits. How have they won three games?
Well, A, you played the worst team to ever make the playoffs in Cleveland. Let's start there. That was a big part of my pick is Cleveland ain't going to do this to us again. It's not going to happen.
Right. They were worse than the Tigers. The Tigers out Cleveland.
Right. Cleveland had a negative run differential. The Mariners are just different. It was the rest versus rust argument. It was Skubal figuring you'd be able to split. I thought the offense would pick up a little. It didn't, but you still split, but you lost the Skubal game inexplicably.
Right, but it's still a little bit of rust, so you should have actually come back 2-0.
Yes, and I think that's part of my angst. David, one more and we'll get to the people.
There is no situational hitting because they never change their approach to match the situation.
Okay, then. We go to Mike, 97.1. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Hey, good gentlemen. The one thing that I end up screaming at the television about is the fact that they never hit to the opposite field. Torkelson's hit was the opposite field. When's the last time I saw any hit to the opposite field when they were losing to Cleveland 5-2 before the game they wrapped it up. Green actually hit one of the opposite field, and I don't remember who else, but there were two hits back-to-back. And they never, I mean, they're watching pitches go over the outside corner, over the plate, and they're watching it for a strike three and a three. It almost seems like on 3-2 counts, they're trying to get a walk rather than get a hit. It's inexplicable to me. I see other teams go to the opposite, you know, way quite a bit, and the Tigers never seem to even adjust to try to do that. So I think that you ought to send some kazoos to hints. Maybe you can play the kazoos and these guys loosen them up before they go to bat.
No, I mean, Mike, at a certain level, though, here's the problem. They've done a nice job drawing some walks, right, working the count. But it does become a bit of a talent issue, no? Mm-hmm. Like in the playoffs, this is what I talked about all year and why I so desperately wanted them to go get some reinforcements. the pitching's going to be better. The bullpen usage is higher. And at the end of it, how many really good high-level players do you have on offense? That's the problem here.
It absolutely is. But it seems to me these guys should be good enough if it's a 3-2 count and the guy just – you got to sometimes go up to the plate. Sometimes I see the first pitch, they go up to the plate. And it just seems to me sometimes they're not really ready to hit, they're almost ready to take the first pitch no matter what.
Well, that's part of a patient approach. I mean, Mike, here's the other side of it. How many at-bats have the Mariners thrown away casually swinging at the first pitch? We just talked about the paternity leave, Naylor. Every one of his stupid at-bats, he bumbles up to the plate looking like he's hungover, roll it over to second, waddle back to the dugout. How about Rally? I mean, Rally game, all these at-bats, they're all first pitch swinging. Now, sure, he had a broken bat single or two. He only really did his damage last night. There are so many of these guys swinging at the first pitch. I'd rather the Tigers have a patient approach, but the problem is the patience is resulting in an inordinate amount of strikeouts. And when you have guys on base, those are wholly unproductive outs. Last night, you had a man on second with nobody out. You have got to get him home. Have to.
Right. But you didn't. And that's the part that's just so, it frustrates you.
Oh, goody, coming up, bag of mayo.
Jonathan Smith is up next, folks. In case you were wondering.
Here's a preview of his presser. Actually, if you wanted to know Ashton Lepo's inner monologue in pass protection.
See, I thought you were going to go doot, doot, doot.
Actually, dead. Hey, it's 3rd and 9, Ashton. How you doing out there? Dead. Dead. Dead.
Rico, I did a double take. I'm like, we're in the middle of a show. Why is he asking for a bag of mayo?
Right. And then I looked. I was like, it's Jonathan Smith coming up next.
248-539-9797. Get more of the people. And it is a Can We Say That Monday. We will open up the phone lines for some of that. And it doesn't have to be about the Tigers. Happy to do it. But we can move into some other things. Also, the Terry and Arnold injury. I mean, you're down, you're starting two corners for indefinite. No bueno.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.